You're listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C.
We're back. We are joined by Gordon Chang, our indispensable duty expert on matters involving Asia and U.S. interests in the region, as well as increasingly here, notably the threat that is emerging from North Korea. Gordon Chang, of course, is also prominently featured these days at the Daily Beast, Forbes.com, World Affairs Journal, Fox News. His books include The Coming Collapse of China and Nuclear Showdown North Korea Takes on the World, a book that has never been more timely than at the moment. Gordon Chang, welcome back. It's so good to have you.
Thanks so much, Frank.
So over the weekend, as you know, the North Koreans not only detonated a very large weapon underground, by some accounts, it might just be what they claim, a thermonuclear H-bomb, but in any event, they've coupled it with a very explicit threat of something we've talked about in a somewhat speculative manner until now, a use of electromagnetic pulse to take down the American electric grid. Gordon, give us your reading on where we are now and the prospect that there may be another ICBM launch from North Korea in the offing any day now.
Yeah, the North Koreans are moving a mobile missile to their west coast. They're doing it at night so that we can't observe it as well as we otherwise might. I suspect, Frank, that they're going to fire a three-stage missile. We know that they showed the KN-08 on April 15th, 2012, in the Great Military Parade. They have not tested it yet, but we know from Bruce Bechtel of Angelo State University, who is one of the keenest observers of North Korea's military, that the North Koreans never show something that they don't eventually test or have already tested. The KN-08, I think, is perhaps the next thing to go. We've got to also remember that in July, there were two intercontinental ballistic missile tests. Those were both two-stage missiles, the Hwasong-14. They've got to test their three-stage missile to hold us at risk. And so I think that that's going to be the next thing up.
Now, Gordon, this has precipitated a considerably heightened sense of concern in Washington. It had been building for some time. You now have even the Secretary of Defense, who was somewhat, if not actually contradicting President Trump on some of his expressions of determination to deal with the North Korean threat, certainly lowballing their implications. We're now hearing him say as well that this is an environment that could well require a U.S. military operation to address. Do you have a sense that this thing is now lurching towards an actual conflict, perhaps of the nuclear kind?
Well, the risk of war is unacceptably high. We heard Secretary Mattis issue a deterrence warning to North Korea. And next to him, of course, was General Joseph Dunford, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. That's an indication that the United States wants North Korea to know that it is not going to tolerate threats toward American territory. And as Matt has said, that includes Guam as well. It's necessary to do this because the North Koreans may misunderstand the United States, may miscalculate. And so it's important for Mattis to have delivered this warning.
To firm up, indeed. Gordon Chang, let me ask you about the hardy perennial in all of these conversations, and that is that we must engage China more effectively than we have to date. I was really struck this morning on National Public Radio, Max Baucus, former United States Senator and Ambassador to China, actually said that during his time in Beijing, the Obama administration, quote, didn't know what it was doing, unquote, with respect to China and the North Korean threat. I'm willing to stipulate to that, but it is sort of extraordinary to have the man who presided over such dealings acknowledge it. But this is just one example, Gordon Chang, I don't need to tell you, of sort of the continuing hash-up successive administrations have made of this portfolio. Where are we with respect to China in all of this as you see it now?
I think the most important thing that we have seen recently is President Trump's tweet on Sunday that the United States was considering stopping trade with all countries that do business with North Korea. Many people thought that this was an isolated tweet, unconnected to policy, but that is wrong, because just a few hours afterwards, Treasury Secretary Mnuchin said that he was going to draft a sanctions package to implement President Trump's tweet. And indeed, on Monday, our ambassador to the UN, Nikki Haley, mentioned this at the emergency meeting of the Security Council. This is going to be U.S. policy. Our policy with regard to North Korea is going to affect our trading relations with China, as indeed they should. And this is a very good step on the part of the Trump administration to view China as our policy with regard to China in connection with North Korea.
Gordon, let me ask you to do a little crystal ball gazing. A particularly chilling thought is one that is being bruited about by some strategic analysts, including, I believe, Jeff Nyquist, to the effect that this is really a trap for us, that the Chinese and Russians would pounce were we to take any action against the North Koreans. They're kind of spoiling for a fight. They may well be far better equipped to contend with us, particularly jointly, than we would be to deal with such threats. Do you have a thought on that?
Yeah, I think that we have to be very concerned that especially the Chinese would aid the North Koreans if there were to be a war. We have to just go back to 1950, where we ignored Chinese warnings that they would aid the North Koreans. And indeed, the Global Times, in an unofficial but I think authoritative editorial, said that China would come to North Korea's aid if the United States, without provocation in China's view, actually attacked the North. So when we talk about a nuclear exchange with the North Koreans, we have to be concerned that the Chinese are going to be on the other side of that. And as you point out, the Russians also could very well be a combatant in a future hostilities, largely because China and Russia are coordinating their foreign policies across the board, but also on North Korea as well.
Yeah, ominous developments. Gordon, very quickly, let me ask you about one other development. You have long been speculating that the Indians may be a counterweight to the Chinese in all of this. They've had strained relations, of course, for decades. Yet there was a meeting over the weekend, I believe, between the president of China, Xi Jinping, and the prime minister of India, Narendra Modi. What do you think came of that, and what does it portend?
I think that there was very little that will come out of the meeting between Prime Minister Modi and Chinese President Xi Jinping. This was part of the so-called BRICS summit. BRICS is the acronym for developing countries, specifically Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa. Modi has always made it clear that he was going to, at least on the surface, maintain cordial relations with his Chinese counterpart. But the Indian policies have certainly been much more difficult, as the Chinese would look at it. And especially Modi was very resolute in dealing with the Chinese incursion into Bhutanese territory, as well as Chinese incursions directly into Indian-controlled territory. I don't think we have to worry about these cordial meetings that Modi has with Xi Jinping. They've occurred all the time, and they don't seem to have very much effect on India's policy with regard to China.
We'll follow it closely, as will you. In fact, we'll do it with your beneficial help. Thank you so much, Gordon Chang, as always. Keep up the good work, my friend, at the Daily Beast and elsewhere. Come back to us next week. Next up, Kevin Freeman joins us. We'll talk about EMP in North Korea and economic warfare and more. Straight ahead.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.